Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to do a little strategic sort of overview or preparation, I guess, for the rookie draft season. So I think we've got a number of different things that we can do in terms of some tactics to employ. But I do want to talk about, you know, let's do a little theory. I'm working on a thing for AOD 2023. I've actually broke ground on it. So it's in the planning phases. But one of the things I really think about is, like, let's do kind of a month-by-month strategy, right? And so we did like 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, a couple years ago. But what should we be doing in March or April or August? Like, how should that change our minds? I'm thinking more and more about that because the market does change. And so now we have a better idea, I think, of sort of what the draft board might look like. There's probably not going to be more than two top 10 quarterbacks, for example. There's probably not going to be more than two, probably more than one first round running back would be kind of my assumption. And you start looking around and you're thinking, okay, well, what are we looking at in terms of assets? Well, I think a good way to start is to go back and look at some of the stuff from the hierarchy, the AOD hierarchy of assets, and it really shape your opinion. And I put in, and I'll probably do a specific podcast on some of the trades I've been doing on Thursday. So that'll be the Thursday podcast this week. But I have mentioned some stuff in the group chat, and if you're not in there, you know, you can go in there and join us. But one of the things that I've made a couple moves up the board, right? And I've actually bailed as well. And so I think you should really be thinking about basically three or four rules, right? That you can really think about. Number one, don't lose a core asset. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a couple of parts to this, okay? Future rookie picks. So rookie picks that you have in your pocket that are not yet selected, right? So whether they are actually 2022 picks or 2023 picks, they are part of the core assets, right? They are core assets because of the liquidity and the value that they have in the trade market, you know, their stability long-term and the like. However, we know that in the next, I don't know, let's call it 3 or 4 weeks, we're getting kind of close to them not being future rookie picks anymore. We're going to be forced to make the pick. And at this point, you have to start thinking about that as is this a core asset now? Right? If we go back and we look at some of the core assets, we'd go down the list of core assets, basically, in terms of players that really would qualify, rookie quarterback selected in the top 10 of the NFL draft, right? So if we got one of those, they'd be a core asset. Running backs from 6 through 13 in ADP. Wide receivers from 9 through 14 in ADP. First round rookie running backs and future first round rookie picks. I also included some other stuff in there that doesn't necessarily apply to these. So what are we really looking for? We're looking for a top 14 wide receiver in terms of overall ADP. We're looking for a top 10 quarterback, and we're looking for really first round running backs or running backs that are in the top 13 of ADP. You know, so basically running back one type costs. I think Hall's going to qualify. Not sure Walker will by that definition. In terms of the ADP cost, we'll see sort of where they all fall in. I'm not sure we're going to get a wide receiver in that. And again, just qualifying as a first-round wide receiver doesn't get you there. You got to be basically top 14 at the position. And I'm not sure how many top 10 quarterbacks we're going to get. The other thing we know is, like, treating a rookie wide receiver as a core wide receiver is flawed. And almost at the moment you do that, you'd rather cash it out than to sort of view them as a core asset. So one of the things that I think about this time of year is, all right, I've got a core asset right now. Let's not lose it, right? Let's figure out a way to preserve it. I think about this when you have an injury. You know, I've used that lingo, like when you had the J.K. Dobbins injury, the Cam Akers thing, like, hey, you got a core asset, don't lose a core asset. Figure out a way to package him with something else to maintain a core asset. Because I actually have some tracking that I've been doing and looking at my teams, and just it'll tell me how many core assets I have at any given time. And you could tell, like, the core assets, those teams are good, the teams that have a lot of core assets. And so the teams that don't have a lot of core assets, right, you can just kind of tell by looking at that how contending you are. So I like to try and preserve as many core assets as I can. You got to remember, if you are forced to make the pick and it's not going to be a top 14 wide receiver in terms of overall ADP, a top 10 pick in the NFL draft at quarterback, or basically a first round running back, or a top, you know, 13 running back in ADP, if it's not going to qualify as one of those things, it's going to be a contributor or worse. And that's not great. So what do we do? Well, we can do a couple of things, right? We can sort of presume that the picks aren't going to be core assets, right? So I had like 9 and 10 the other day in a deal, and I started looking around, and I was like, I'm not going to get a core asset here, and right? I'm not going to get a top 10 quarterback. And if there's a wide receiver that somehow sneaks in the top 14, I don't think there is, but if there's going to be one, A, I don't think it probably deserves it, and B, they're going to be gone by then, right? So that's a problem. And again, the quarterback issue, right? You're just not going to get to 9 or 10 and have any core options there. So you're going to be picking contributors, which isn't what you want to do, right? So what do? Well, you can sort of sit there, or you can move up and try and, you know, get in the zone. I did that as a move up. I'll talk about it on the Thursday show. I'm just going to run through some recent trades that I've done. But basically moving from, like, I think it was 103 and 109 up to 101. And I did some other things in that deal. But the idea was, all right, preserving a core asset. And honestly, it gives me a shot at a star, right? If I can get just like a top 5 running back, I don't think I'm going to get all the way there. But it gives me a lot better shot of it than trying to pick a couple contributors and land that. So that's the big thing with it is, I think you really need to, try and preserve and think about your rookie selections as trying to preserve core assets. The next thing that I would say is, while trying to preserve core assets, also trying to acquire stars or supermax guys, right? Now's a good time to go out and do that. Subscriber just this week traded Trey Lance and a couple of early firsts. That was 103 and 104 for Mahomes. go from getting, you know, I guess that's probably a core quarterback, pretty close to a core quarterback in terms of it being a top 10 quarterback by ADP. However, the problem with that is you're not insulated for the production stuff that we know exists, right? So that's a problem. And then, you know, you're going from 2 picks, which, listen, as I sit here right now, their cores, are they, by the time you get there, are you picking core players with it? I don't know. But you jump from a couple of core assets. Even if all those are cores, you're jumping from cores up to super max, right? That's a massive, massive win. So, I mean, that would be the other thing I would look at, right? Preserve cores and figure out a way to combine assets to get stars, right? This is the easiest, and actually the startup drafts are the easiest way to get this, because you can get a lot of core assets just by trading down. But really thinking about this in the way of, like, how am I going to make selections and deals and transactions that really impact my winning? And that's getting core assets, it's getting super max guys, getting stars, right? It's using those assets. Remember, rookie picks are assets. And yeah, I'm not going to get political here, but one of the things that I actually saw was someone was talking about, they were analyzing some of this Ukraine stuff, and they said, listen, the sanctions aren't like the goal. The sanctions are the tool for the goal, right? And I think that makes a lot of sense when you think about rookie picks, right? Rookie picks aren't, you know, making the selection with rookie picks isn't necessarily the goal. Using rookie picks to make your team better is. Right. And that could take a couple different forms. People just sort of accept it as a fait accompli that you have to sit and take your rookie pick, and you got to take the best guy on the board. I mean, use it for assets, right? Let someone else make that lower probability bet, right? You go out and use your picks to get higher profile guys, higher level guys, right? Jump tiers in terms of moving up to stars or supermax, like do those things, and that can really make a difference for you, right? You're trying to look and shift your odds. Right? Rookie picks are a tool; they're not the end, right? They're the means to the end; they're not the end. And I think that people get lost in that. If you're on the sell side of that, again, I like rookie picks, but I also understand that if I'm on the sell side of that, I'm probably selling into people that are into more rookie picks than I am. So just for what that's worth, be always thinking about that, right? Always thinking about that. The other thing too is arbitrage. And how does arbitrage play into this? Well, let's just assume for the sake of argument for a second, you've got 104 in this rookie class. And you're going to take at 104, you're going to take... Let's just assume it's wide receiver two, just for the sake of argument. And there's no other core assets available to you. The best player on the board is wide receiver two, and there's no core assets available to you. How is the easiest way to actually preserve a core asset? Well, it's to use that to flip into a future first. Right. And that's, again, do you just give straight that pick for a future first? I don't think you probably need to do that. If you go back into the second, you're in probably a contributor range or a partial contributor range, but you're getting a future core asset, right? That's an easy way to do it. Or the other thing is, remember to go from, if you go from, you shouldn't have to just bail and get a future first. Like you should probably be able to do better than that, right? Can you go from 104 back to 110 and get a future first? Not sure that market's there this year. It's something that I think you should explore, because again, you're preserving future first, and at the best part is you're arbing that pick too, because you're probably picking a first round wide receiver at 110. It's sort of the hunch. And if you're sort of trading down from a first round wide receiver at 104, getting a future first and getting to 110 and making that pick, right, you're have just added a future first, which is a core asset, while arbing between two contributors, right? So again, is that possible this year? It's been possible in almost every year I played Dynasty, and people will talk about this being a down class. It probably is. However, I still don't think people can help themselves, right? And I've actually, made a couple of deals, and we've seen this, right? Like we've in the Mahomes deal that we saw, where subscribers sent Trey Lance, Damian Harris, 103 and 104, out to Mahomes, out for Mahomes and Hunter Henry. It was tight end premium. It's a safe league steal, and right, that's that deal shouldn't happen. By the assets, right? If you start piecing those things together, use all the principles that we just did, again, he's probably a core asset. Those picks are cores technically by definition right now. When you make them, they're probably at least one of them is going to be a contributor. And you've just gone contributor in two cores up to a supermax. And all of a sudden, that's how you do it. But there's always people that are on the other side of that, right? And there's people that are on the other side of that. It's like a 50-50 margin on Twitter. And I pulled it. We were all, wow, that's a great deal. And I said, watch this, right? Watch what happens. There are people on the other side of that. So as much as the Dynasty Intelligentsia wants to say that this is a down rookie class and harp on that, people cannot help themselves. And want to pick and want to be involved and all that stuff, which is great because we can exploit the hell out of it, right? That's what you need to do, right? Never underestimate how valuable a pick can be in a rookie class when someone just wants to make the pick, right? When someone will trade you anything to get more picks, to make more selections, to sort of, they're not even trying to make their team better. They're just trying to scratch the itch of like the addiction withdrawal of making picks, right? Be the supplier, right? You be there, right? You be there and you scratch that itch for them. and get better assets, right? Get proven veterans, get future picks, right? Do all that stuff. I think that's really how you can get ahead. And that market doesn't, and people will say that market is not there this year because the class is down, yada, yada. That may broadly be true again, but I don't think that's the end all be all, because there is plenty of buyers on the, whether it's a move downside or a trading picks for players that are proven, right? There's all of those situations are out there this year. You might have to try a little harder, but they're there, So that's sort of my thought there in terms of all that. You want to be arbitraging them, right? And again, we talked about some specific examples, but really the classic arbitrage especially in a class like this, where maybe there's probably even multiple profiles to do this in. It can be first round wide receivers. It can actually be first round quarterbacks too. So just remember, like, if there's maybe three, four guys that go, and maybe two of them are in the first, or in the, the back 12 picks, or, between 20 and 32, something like that. All of a sudden you can arbitrage those profiles too, And so that's the big thing. With that is, if you can move down and let other people pick between profiles that we know are largely the same, that's a really lucrative outcome. So that's the other thing, I think, to, either use the picks to move up, or upgrade in terms of pure assets, or take a slide down and sort of arbitrage it, right? I really like that. One of the things that I will go into in the premium podcasts and the like is, hey, listen, I don't play favorites. I got a handful of favorites each year, but especially at wide receiver, at a position that has a ton of variance that we don't have a ton of ability to predict the future on. I'm willing to totally embrace the variance and let them, let others pick their favorites while paying me a vig, right? That's the side you want to be on. So that's really the other deal there. So the three big rules, again, the three mindsets we want to have: try and acquire star assets, don't lose core assets, and then arbitrage our assets. And one of the best ways to arbitrage is, one of the big, the big outcomes of an arbitrage is when you can basically trade a contributor for a contributor and a core asset, which would be the future pick, right? That'll put you way ahead, right? That'll put you way ahead. That's how you start playing the game on savings instead of playing it on credit. Right. That's a big deal, in terms of past podcasts that we've talked about. How do you actually get in the plus on these? You get there in rookie drafts, or sorry, you get there in startup drafts, right, where you're trading core asset for a first and another core asset, right? That's really good, but even better probably in rookie drafts is paying star asset for star asset and a future first, which is a core, and that's a huge, huge outcome. So, and I don't think a lot of people think of it that way, right? We're different because we think about profiles more so than anything, and we're really trying to find players that fit our profiles and really looking at the game that way. I think there's other people that do it. I think we can be pretty stickler about it, and I think we've really understood, like, hey, how do first round picks fit into all this and everything, and I think that's a good way to think about it. One other thing I want to talk about in this podcast is a question that actually came up. Derek asked a really good question, which is, like, I had a Mike Evans trade this week, and the question popped up. Right. My general rule of thumb is you don't trade a first round starter. You don't trade a first round rookie pick for someone that's not a top 30 asset. Right. I think that's I'm trying not to careen my way off a cliff. Right. And that's really the way that I've identified it, odds wise and the like, safety, security, don't do stupid stuff type of way. That's a really good way to not get yourself in trouble. is to follow that rule. Again, you can pay more than that, right? If you if it's a top five asset, right, you can include the first, you can include other stuff, but you really need to, what you don't want to be doing is paying a future first for 90 overall, right? That's a calamity, right? Historically. The question becomes is like, what's the flip side of that, right? Like, okay, does that mean you take any first for a guy outside of a top 30? I don't. And if you just use the hierarchy of assets as a guidepost for a second, it'll help you think this through. And I've been thinking about this, and this is one of the, I joke that I come up with all my good ideas either in the shower or on a bike. So your imagery there, you can take that for what it's worth. But I was thinking about the core asset aspect of this while I was riding the other day, and it was very much, all right, what are you doing? Right? And again, if I'm trading Mike Evans and my offer is a future first, well, what am I trading? It's a core asset for a core asset. And you say, okay, well, that's something that we can think about. Right, that's something that we can, you know, there's things we have to that we can debate between there, right? Or there's, you know, there's decisions to be made, right? If you're picking between seven core assets in a at a spot at, you know, 604 of a startup draft, you have to sort of sort through that. Same thing with a trade like this, right? There's different fits. There's different times that might make better difference than others. You know, if you're dead red contending versus you're not contending, you might aim for a different core asset than another one, right? So that's the thing that I would think about it. It's not that I would take a first for any non-top 30 guy, right? Then you're breaking ties between core assets, right? And you think about it in the sense of like, okay, well, how do I, you know, is this a way that I can make this core asset that I have in Mike Evans into two, right? So can I make this a two asset for two asset deal where I'm actually moving on the other side of the deal? You know, I'm moving Mike Evans for a first, and that's basically a core asset, but I'm attaching someone with Mike Evans that's not a core asset and getting back, a core asset, right? Thinking about moving from, I don't know, you know, you move from like Dawson Knox to Dallas Goedert, for example, something like that, right? You sort of thinking along that line, and you say, okay, well, if I do that, I'm kind of right. I'm in the process of moving actually from a core and a contributor up to two core assets, right? That's how you can sort of hide it. You know, those are some of the things that I would look for, right? So it's not just that you trade any core for a first, they're on the same tier, and you have to sort of use your tie breaking, you know, use some of our concepts about how to get stuff added into deals on top of what your main part is, and get back Kadarius Toney for a second, right? Do something like that in the deal that adds on a target player and can sort of help you along the way. So I did want to answer that because I think it's a good question and something that I've been sort of trying to figure out a little bit in terms of how I process this. I mean, that's why I think the hierarchy of assets sort of can frame these decision-making processes for you, and you'll find that, you know, it becomes a matter of fit. It becomes a matter of, you know, looking at team direction, right, and all that stuff. So, lots of options there in terms of that analysis. But I think the idea of versus core assets versus other core assets is something that, you know, you can different minds could differ. And I think that's something that it was important for me to ask, because people have asked this question. It's like, all right, what's the convert? You know, what's the flip side of the argument? And I think that there's the flip side is it's gray. It's not you just take a first for a non-top 30 guy. So, all right. Well, I hope that helps. And we'll have more content here coming up in the next few. We'll have more player profiles coming up. We'll have trade stuff. I'll talk about some of my trades, and then maybe I'll have to get some more done here over the next couple weeks or over the next couple days, so I can talk about it later this week. We'll have more strategy, and I might have a couple of guests talking about some rookie draft stuff. So we'll have you covered here going through the rookie draft, and I'll have a more specific rookie draft schedule coming out as well. I can tell you this, all of the content for, I will have a nightly reaction podcast that'll be available. And instead of posting them, if you don't know this, I post all the podcasts at 8 a.m. Eastern time. That's just when they go up. I will load them and fire them off when I am done with them. So they'll probably be in the middle of the night, usually Thursday, Friday, and early Friday morning after the first round, right after the first round on Thursday, really early Saturday morning, which again is after the second and the third round reactions, and then the day three takes place earlier in the day, so I probably won't have to burn the midnight oil to get that one out. But you'll get it, you'll get them out before that typical 8 a.m. release time. And so I'll have your podcast. The other thing I will have is some, I will have your rookie boards and everything like that probably no later than Monday of that week. For what that's, you know, for, I typically work on it Saturday, Sunday. I like to sleep on it for a night or so and then, you know, write some stuff, do some content on Monday, and you'll be ready to go for it. So, I will have you all covered with all of that, so that'll give you hopefully an edge in your drafts, and we can look forward to you know really building out some winning dynasty teams here for the 2022 season. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.